What's up, everybody? It's your favorite host, Slammin' Sam. I hope you are in that seat and buckled in real tight. We're gonna go for another ride and smash that loud pedal here on In the Groove. Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, oh baby, ooh-wee. What's up, everybody? Another episode of In the Groove podcast. We're going street outlaws here. I'm gonna say New Orleans. I'm gonna just let you know that right away. But like I told you, I'm gonna bring on those heavy hitters for you. But all I'm gonna say is, ooh, kill 'em. What's up, everybody? It's your man Slammin' Sam back in the seat, ready to smash that loud pedal as always. Like I told you, I'm bringing on those heavy hitters. I'm bringing on my friends, people that are in this world, in this industry, things that I love to do, things that they love to do. But first, I got two guests here for you guys here tonight. One just popped in. But first off, I'm going to bring on my friend, my big brother. Like I said, ooh, kill him. I got Travis Santa Cruz, aka Black Ops. What is up tonight?
What's up, babe? How you doing, man? What's all right,
baby?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. So everybody that's out there, just give it to him right now. Travis Santa Cruz, give him the ooh, kill him.
Ooh, kill him. Ooh, kill him.
Ooh. All right, and another friend of mine, he's in this motorsports game. He's putting on, I mean, epic events. I'm going to bring him on, too. Without further ado, I want to bring on my boy Peso with Peso Production. How's it going today?
What's up, man? What's going on? What's crackin'?
What's going on? So we got New Orleans Outlaws in here. We got me from the North Dakotas that's just doing it. We got Michigan in the house tonight. I think this is episode 15. We're going down. So we're just gonna start it like this. Travis, how is it going? How's everything been for you? How's we haven't seen you in a while, so what's going on?
Man, look, I've been working a lot. I can't lie to you, bro. I've been working hard and trying to stay clear of this coronavirus bullcrap that's going on, and working on the car as usual, and also working on a lot of other things that's upcoming up for me that I'm trying to do. But I have a lot of things coming up, so I got like three races that for sure I got to make. I ain't make no races this year due to the coronavirus and waiting on parts that's been on back order like crazy. Everything that I ordered is taking forever to come in. So finally, everything came in. I got all the pieces of the puzzle in. So now the car will be ready in probably about approximately about a week or two max. And I'll be ready to lay down some nice passes. But other than that, I just been chilling, man, working during this pandemic, you know, thanking God that I didn't get laid off or I had to get furloughed or anything like that, and I had to fly off unemployment and stuff like that, because if I did, Black Ops would have been near to just beat. So I just tried my best to make it the way I could, you feel me? So I'm over here at work right now, as y'all can see, but I'm still here. I get off in about approximately like 20 minutes. So I've been all right, man.
So you're doing the podcast. You're on In the Groove while you at work. In the Groove.
Yeah, in the Groove, at work, busting the wide open. You
know, all right, and then to my boy Jay Peso, Peso Productions. Man, it's been a while. You know we're going to talk a little bit of food because, you know, you've been trying to get on that Smitty's Eats style. But, and a lot of people don't even know about that yet. But we are definitely, how's it been going for you, man? Like, what's been going on?
Yeah, man. First off, man, you got me on this thing on podcast with a legend, man. Shout out to my man Black Ops, bro. It was a pleasure watching you on TV the few times I seen you, man. You represented. You got your butt kicked, but it's okay. But you still represent. Hey, I'm just good. Uh-oh. He did, but he represented. That's my dog, man. Shout out to him, man. It's good to see him on here. But no, besides that, man, for me, up in the north, you know, to Travis' point, man, you know, this COVID was something that really caught a lot of us off guard. from promoters to racers to spectators to families. So, I mean, every world was shaken up. So we had to cancel a lot of main events up here. But, you know, we've still been having a little fun with just some, you know, testing tune grudge shows. And, you know, luckily, as it progressed, we started to remove a lot of those barriers and let some shootouts and stuff happen again. So that part has been really successful. And it's just to give people somewhere to race. But a lot of guys have not been able to race. A lot of people and families still are not comfortable with coming out. And we totally 100% respect that. Besides that, I finally got a little street car, a little C7 Z06. So I'm having some fun with that. You know, shout out to Team Z Motorsports. They building my big block. You know, so the nicest car will be done next year. And COVID taught me how to cook. So shout out to you for all the tips you gave me. I've been trying to get that pellet grill right. So that's been fun as well, man. So
for sure.
You know, right now I'm working too. We all working. Me and Chad, we both in the group because I'm in Indiana right now traveling for work. So. You know, got to get it in.
And that's the thing. I know, I mean, you know, this isn't a traditional podcast. Everybody's like, oh, you don't sit down and talk. You got guys at work, people traveling. But that's what it's all about. And it's really cool to have both of you guys on here as legends in, you know, the racing world. Travis, you know, as we met through a vendor of mine, a sponsor of yours, Red Horse, and then Peso, we just kind of met because I wanted to get into the media world. But first question goes to you, Travis. What is it like performing on that level? Being up there with the Kai Kellys, the Lizzie Musies, and ooh wee Lizzie. I mean, I'm gonna miss that for sure this year, not being able to take my yearly picture with her. But what is that like that for you, Travis, being able to compete with these guys?
Well, I ain't gonna lie. The internet connection is like dookie right now. I can't lie. I kind of heard it a little bit, but it sounds like you're a Transformer, you feel me? Playing on the Transformer movie, but I kind of got bits and pieces of what you were trying to say. You must have got that broadband dial-up.
Oh, man.
So, I'm just messing with you, but it sounds like really like Transformer when it transforms from the car to the machine. That's exactly what you sound like, B. So what I'm trying to explain to you is that... me being in that media world, bro, I can't lie to you. It was an experience to me that I really, really enjoyed my life of doing it. It was new to me, but me being having a high personality and me being me, it just kind of brought out everything in me to learn that part of the world. It just, man, the only part about it is that you meet so many people and you see so many people and you talk to so many people, bro, and you just get cottonmouth talking to these people, telling the same story over and over and over and over and over. But make a long story short, man, I can't lie to you. I enjoyed the publicity. I enjoyed everything. I enjoyed the media. I enjoyed everything, but I just didn't like the way things ended, but that really wasn't my fault. But like I said, I still have some other stuff coming up with Eric Malone has some stuff coming up with him as well on his little show, The Fast Cause of the Dirt Assault or whatever. And I got that going on, and that's pretty much it. That no prep stuff is just kind of hard because some of these dudes that came out will be real, real fast, and that no prep world is really tough right now because people has kind of upgraded so much, and sometimes you can't compete with some of the people who got deep pockets. My pocket,
that's right.
Like my pocket is good, but not
super deep. So the way your check-ins and your savings is set up.
Trav, I do got a question though, for real though, because like that's what a lot of people are saying. Like it gets to a point to where skill isn't as big of a deal, you know, as it used to be. Meaning like it's more to it, and it's like at the end of the day, the guy that can spend, you know, $85,000 on Pat Moosey and 30 G's on the electrical system. Those are the guys that are winning. So do you think in the no prep world, it really comes down to the checkbook racing now? Because that's what happened in no time.
Right. A lot of people come up like that. It comes down to a checkbook because you spend so much money having electronics and trash control systems and stuff like that and having so many spare motors that you can go test and them bitches just blow up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like me having, I wouldn't say deep pockets. I would say You know how the women, they have them little nugget pockets up right there? That's the kind of pockets I got. You feel me? So what I'm trying to explain to you is that, you know, if I blow one of them up, you know what I'm saying, I got to wait a little bit so I build my grade back up to come back up to compete with some of the other people. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm not no slouch. I know I ain't no slouch. I ain't no pushover. But if I hurt that bitch, I'm going to be down for a minute, you know? But some of you dudes that hurt that bitch, have another mold in a trailer,
bruh,
put that one in that motherfucker and go race
in
45 minutes. You feel me?
Bruh, I seen that shit.
So what is that like? Okay, for right. you, Peso, you're putting on these events. You have, I mean, look at, you know, just like the event that you guys put on, I think that was 2 weeks ago here now. You guys put on an event, really good event. Everything went smooth. Then you guys had like a kick out, kickback party kind of after with DJs and food and everything. You know, you have entertainers coming in and putting on shows for you. So what is that like, having, you know, seen both sides, seeing a guy that blows something up that had a chance to win, but now someone else has a bigger pocket, bigger checkbook, and, you know, they have funding behind them that can allow them to continue to go and go and go.
Yeah, right. You know,
people back him up. People have people that back them up. You know what I'm saying? People get back some people with deep pockets. You feel me? And then you got to know somebody, know other people that don't want to be in the scenes, they be behind the scenes, and be like, look, you know what I mean? Look, go do your thing. Let's break this bread and let's come up. You know what I mean? Nigga, like, yeah, you're like, hold up. Let me, and I race. You know what I'm saying? But hey, it is what it is. But hey, I can tell you right now,
hey,
no, that no time scene. I can't really. I mean, I'm a pro charge call, and I jump in no time scene with no problem. There are a lot of people that are out there that I know I'm a race. I'm normal get to race them. I'm normal call out stuff like that. I just need time to get there, and I'm pretty sure that I'll be traveling anywhere that have nice big pots. You feel me? Because I feel that I kind of went to an extreme level with the car, and I feel that the car is gonna come up and turn a lot of heads when y'all see it when I touch down. Now mine coming up to your area, Peso. You gotta tell me some time ahead of time. I do got a 9 to 5. I mean, well, I'm doing like 9. You feel me?
Hey man, you come up here. That'll be a blessing, man. You got a lot of fans up in Michigan, man. You know, in no time, it says, huh?
The boy said Michigan.
Yeah, man. That's about an 18-hour drive.
Nigga,
Hey, look, I'll send you a plane. You just get somebody to bring the truck and the trailer, man.
Man, look, you send me a plane ticket, I'm gonna fucking ship that bitch to United States shipping.
Hey, like, but real talk, I'm gonna ask you a question, Sam. But he right, man. Like, I be wanting to come down there with my truck and trailer, and people be like, I want to buy Peso gear. But dog, to hit that road for 12 to 16 hours? I mean, I'm not old, but I'm 35. I got 2 kids, a wife. I got a real job. And like, yo, it's hard, man. Like, to Travis's point, what a lot of people don't know is a lot of people are backed by millionaires. A lot of people are backed by sponsors. A lot of people are backed by whole racing communities to help them make these events and be a part of these shows. Because when y'all working on TV, people don't understand the directors will change the date on you. Like, it's nobody's business. Like, they say, all right, we want to race October 1st. They call you September 30th and say, we moving the race to October 16th. And they don't care what you got to do in your life. So, you know, being on both sides of this table, you know, it's hard. But I watched, to your point, Sam, that Mark Mickey legit go out there and blow up a $60,000 motor, have another one in the trailer. I actually made a little video about, like, put the whole motor in before the next round, went out there and ran a 380 to the 8th mile like it was nobody's business.
Yeah, and
it's like,
and they have the backing to do that. But then you have, you know, like you have guys like myself, you know, up here in BFE, bumfuck nowhere. I'm up here in North Dakota, right? So it's like a guy that's traveling. Like I went to the season finale of Street Outlaws, you know, one of the first ones. I went up there. And to go up there and drive 18 hours one way, it's like, you know, it's to go to Oklahoma. So it's tough. I don't see how a lot of these guys are doing it, but like you said, they got to have those pockets. They got to be able to financially support it. And to do that, it takes a lot of backing. It takes a lot of sponsorship. It takes long hours in the shop, long days. And just to get there to put on a show that could, you know, last 2 hours, or the show could last 15 minutes. You know, you never know what could happen. You could pull out the trailer and break something right away.
Yep.
So
I mean, you know, the game is, you know, at a certain level, it gets really, really financially competitive. And it really, for me, I took it that far. I mean, I was giving away $20,000 in the shootout at one particular point. And when I looked up, and there's no disrespect to any of the racers, I looked up and I seen, I mean, some of the most highest caliber racers in the world. But what I did was I took that guy that's been working all year that has a $60,000 to $70,000 setup, and I pretty much gave him the middle finger because I entertained a different group of people. And I think it's a time and a place for that because those people need places to race too. But it really kind of was a reality check for me because I forgot about everybody else. And that's why now I try to do a better job at entertaining what I call the slow guys. Again, these guys are not slow. But it's to that point to where you got a 3-second car, a 4-second car, and a 5-second car. And you want to be able to entertain everybody to keep it fun. If not, you're going to lose a lot of up-and-coming races.
And another one for you, Travis, here. I know, like I said, you still working and everything like that, but we definitely want to get you on here. Like I said, I've told you I'm coming down to see you and do some video stuff with you. But like you said, you got a lot of stuff going on. You're working on the car. Who are you putting, like, if you got any call-outs, you know, I'm just going to put this out there for you, Travis. Put it out to the atmosphere. If there's any call-outs when you bring the car back out, is there anyone that's on the hit list or anything like that? Like I said, I know you're at work. We don't want to keep you too long. But is there anyone that is on the hit list when Black Ops returns?
A lot of people have been bumping their guns a little bit. But I wouldn't say a hit list. I would say, since I beat the shit out of B-Ball the Coop on the TV show, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind running him again for that nice check that I ran him for. And we could do it on a prep track this time, so I could really show him my sport. You feel what I'm saying? So B-Ball the Coop, and we had one little controversy with me and Booster GP a long time ago. That's one that we haven't settled and never got off my chest. So I would say B-Ball the Coop and Boost GT be the only two that I would probably really be hit on my hit list or whatever, and I can show them my sport. You know what I'm saying? So,
and a lot of people don't. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. I mean, it's real life. These guys, you know, this is what they did before the TV show. This is what they do. Like, we live this. We care about racing. We love it. We put our heart and soul into it, but you got blessed with an opportunity to be on that show. And even though the show is still over, hey, I still got it out for you.
Right. Well, let me know, man. Look, I can't lie. I gotta do a couple of work. I'm just gonna work a little bit right now. So thank y'all for the opportunity to put me on this podcast. I jump it on anytime you want me to. You gotta let me know ahead of time so I can go ahead and jump on there and get to it. But I do have a little work to do, so matter of fact, one of my salespeople can walk in the office right now. Say, what's up, David?
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
he don't even know he on there. But, yeah, we'll let you go. Thanks for jumping on.
All right. You know, hit me up, dog, with Peso. Hit me up. Give my number, Sam, so I can link up with him or whatever, to figure something out, make some traveling scenes up.
For sure. That's what In the Groove is about, linking people together. All right, we'll do. Thanks. All right, Peso, let's get to it. We want to know.
Yes, sir.
But first, we are going to break to our first sponsor. Mad Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slam and Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
And that's right, we are here talking with Peso, Production. So like I said, you're in Michigan. You're right down the road. You got some heavy hitters out there. Couple of my friends, Tim Jr., he's got that white fox body out there, LS. I'll forgive him for that. I know a lot of people are LS powered, but let's get right to it. You're in the media world. You're out there putting on these races. So kind of just let everybody know how you got started. What made you come to this? What is Peso all about?
Yeah, man. You know, it's crazy, man. You know, we really, I really got started a long time ago just with holding the camera. And, you know, it went really far because I was a little ahead of my time. I was, like, making videos about 16 years ago in YouTube and dial-up, internet, all that type stuff. And I wasn't even good at editing, but I was just bringing the streets to the internet, you know, showing people what we did on the streets. Then after that, I went to a track, and my goal was to bring the races off the street to the track. One, because I seen a really bad accident one day on the street, and it just sucked because we wasn't prepared to help that person out. So I was like, yo, we got to, why don't we go to a track? Like, we could do the same thing there. We got a tree, we got EMS, we got, you know, electricity, we got lights, you know, and all that. So, you know, I wasn't necessarily, well, I guess I was the first to just start it. And I just started just getting people to go to the track. I didn't know what I was doing. And at that point in time, I guess is when I really started to build my career as a promoter. But all I was doing was having fun and getting all my friends to come to the track. So shortly after that, when I say shortly, I'm talking a couple of years, maybe two or three, you know, a guy named Jay Burns from Grudge Inc. Reached out to Racer up here and was like, hey, I need you to get me in touch with Peso. So I got in touch with Jay Burns. And he was like, hey, young man, do you know what you got? And I'm like, what you mean? He's like, you got thousands of people coming to a racetrack. You ever thought about hosting your own event? And I'm like, I think I am hosting an event. He's like, do you get paid? I'm like, no. At that point is when I was taught a lot. And that's when it was just about not really so much financially, but the fact that I actually helped build and create something where people trusted me as a promoter. Fans trusted me to get races, to have a good show and event. And like, it just kept evolving. So it just kept going and going and going. And I built a race series with my friend, Dwayne Spencer, called Motor City Mayhem. And it was literally to this day, I think Jacob Harper beat me, you know, I ain't no think he did. But like, up until that point, I felt like I had one of the biggest grudge races in the country as far as overall car count and spectator count. You know, we did really well with that series. But unfortunately, due to, you know, that location it was at, you know, the track owners were not friendly, right? And it pissed off a lot of the fans and spectators and racers. So, you know, it was a lot going on in my head. And, you know, I fell down. I went rock bottom. I had to build myself back up. And more recently, maybe the last year and a half, I started working with Lapeer International Dragway, Mid-Michigan, in US 131. And that all those track owners, all my friends, really just kind of said, hey, man, you know, we kind of still need you. You know, you really bring a certain type of energy and vibe to this world. So, you know, it got me back in the driver's seat, gave me some confidence back, gave me some motivation. And, you know, we've been having a good time, man. So I can't thank everyone enough. I love everyone dearly. You know, I don't do this. I do this for the people. And a lot of people know that and feel that, you know, I give back 100% tenfold. So, you know, I don't know what's next for me. I've been on the Street Outlaw show. I've been talking to directors. I've talked to people on Netflix. I have full-blown trailers of, like, just amazing-looking stuff. And I feel like one day I'm going to get an opportunity to be a part of something bigger. When I say bigger, just more on a national level. You know what I mean? I really want to be like not a face, but I feel like I can just be on a bigger level of representing No Time Racing. So,
yeah, like
so a one day I feel like that opportunity will come knocking.
Yeah, like a let's just say a Donald Long, right, or a Wes Buck of the industry. People that are known worldwide that are doing great things and continue to strive and grow. And but it, you know, to settle this down, a lot of people don't realize it, but you go to your YouTube channel, you have 10K, you know, you have subscribers that are up to 10K. I mean, that's huge. That's people like myself that, you know, maybe don't have nearly as many, or, you know, I know I don't, but to have that kind of following, to have people reaching out to you saying, hey, we want you to put this event on. Hey, we want you a part of it. Can you video my car? Can you do that? Explain what that's like, because we all see it, right? We all see the Casey Neistats, the Peter McCannons, the you know, Cletus McFarlane's of the world and different things like that. And it just shows that even from a little podcast like this, even from a guy starting from nowhere, you can reach that goal, but it may take some time. Like you said, it takes a couple of years. So what is that like, knowing that you've kind of built this culture where people are looking for, hey, what's Peso doing next?
Yeah, it's tough because I feel like I'm in competition with myself. And I strive to make sure I get better at every event. The team, I finally have like a solid team around me because in order to grow, I realize I needed support. And it's funny because YouTube was dope. Like, I legit, like, downplayed my YouTube, bro. I never promoted it. It was just a place. And I kind of missed that because I missed that whole thing. Like, when I was doing all my events, I never used YouTube, man. It was crazy. So I really transitioned to Facebook. And my Facebook follower is about, like, 26,000 right now. But I guess for anybody that's watching, I would tell you, like, YouTube is definitely the way to go. I went to Facebook because I was getting more of a response, and I still do. Like, I get like a 500,000 views. You probably seen on my channel, like, my outreach on Facebook is just ridiculous versus YouTube. However, it's because that's where I was putting my time and effort. So what I would tell, like, people starting, man, I started with 2 followers, just like y'all. I started with nobody knowing who I was, just like everybody. But I tell you, consistency, effort, traveling, partnership, relationship, that is all part of how to be successful and get your name out. A lot of people think to get famous, they got to go do something silly, like a challenge. Like, yeah, let me drink 32 gallons of water in 10 seconds. Like, you don't have to do that. Don't do that. Just put the time in to really find your place, find yourself, and don't try to do what somebody else is doing. So I always give people that advice. Be original, be yourself, be consistent, and it'll come. But it has to be something you love. And you know, I mean, my 10,000, I've already helped some other guys. So I do a little consulting for people, but it's just hard with time. But, you know, I felt, you know, my boy Justin Swanstorm, man. I mean, me and Justin, just maybe 6 months ago, the guy didn't figure out how to log into his YouTube page. Right? It was funny. And now the kid has more subscribers than me because he's so dedicated and passionate to what he's doing. And I'm proud of him for that. I take a little credit. He knows that. But now he's leveled up immensely because he's grinding. So I tell everybody, if you put in 100%, you'll get it back. Not 120, 130. All that shit is just room for excuses. Just put in 100%.
And it's cool to hear that because I remember when I first reached out to you, I was like, hey, man, I'm Sam, blah, blah, blah. I've been following you for a while. I'm subscribed to this, and I want to get into this, but I don't know what equipment to use. I don't know this. And you was like, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never heard of you. And like,
yeah.
And I mean, you know, and it sucks to hear that because you're like, man, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, but that's what it takes, right? Sometimes it takes someone being brutally honest with you and telling you, hey, I haven't heard of you. Hey, this is what you need to do. If you want to be good at this, this is what you need to do at this point to make it there. And I appreciate that. And you know, I've asked you a couple of camera gear questions. I've asked you what I need to do to get some of your races. But it's finally cool that I think we got to another level simply because of something that we both enjoy. And that's food. And I don't know if you are like me, but I think everyone needs a food sponsor. ALS Teca Mexican Food, located here in Minot, North Dakota, on the north side. If you want the best and authentic Mexican food located in Minot, North Dakota, please check out the gang up at ALS Teca Mexican Food, located right near the Minot International Airport. Go up there, try one of the burritos, and I guarantee you will not leave hungry. The best and authentic Mexican food here in Minot, North Dakota. Again, that is ALS Teca for all your dine-in and dine-out needs. So we have to talk about this, Peso. For everybody that doesn't know, I love to eat. I love to cook. And so Peso was doing this grilling stuff on Instagram. And then he had people, the grill challenge and this and this. So we got to talking and he tried to make a brisket. Peso, do you want to let everyone know how that brisket went?
No, it's so funny because people talk to me about that brisket. Like, I'll be at the track and people be like, yo, man, how your brisket? Like, that legit. Hey, that was quarantine. But yeah, y'all, so listen, man, you know, we all found a new hobby during quarantine, I feel like. And for me, that was cooking. So I bought a new pellet grill. man, I was watching videos cooking, so I've never cooked. I tried to cook a brisket a long, long time ago on a taco grill, and dude, it was absolutely almost impossible with my skill set at the time. A lot of lessons learned. So I finally was like, all right, I got a pellet grill. This is easy. I just turn it on and walk away. So a lot of people, Sam himself, was just hitting me up, like giving me some good pointers on how they made their brisket. So I was cooking this brisket. And y'all, when I say I was cooking this brisket, it was a small brisket. I was smart. I was not about to go spend hundreds of dollars. I think I spent like $80 on this brisket. Nice little piece. And my parents taught me how to cook with my eyes. I've never used a thermostat for cooking, right? I just always look at it, and it's either done or it ain't, right? That's just how I grew up. So the first time, I'm like, all right, I need a thermostat because this thing is going to be cooking for 8 to 12 hours. I want to make sure I can keep my temp on it. When I tell y'all, I think I started this brisket at 8 a.m., and I cooked it, I think, until about midnight and a half, 1 a.m. The whole time, I had my thermostat set on Celsius instead of Fahrenheit.
He's Canadian.
So I was
He's a Canadian.
Yeah, I was trying to cook to a temp that was almost impossible. I think it was like, I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm turning the grill up to 400. Like,
it was 118.
Yeah, it was,
Celsius.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
Man,
that
thing
was
burnt.
So my point is, I burnt the shit out of it, y'all. So by the time I realized that, because it was looking good, I'm like, I think at like 5 hours, I took it out and I gave everybody an update. It was looking good. Guess what? It was done. So it was so small. It was probably done at about the 5 to 6 hour point. I cooked it another 6. So it was bad. And I learned a lot from that. So always check your thermostat. It came out the box that way. I never used one. I thought it'd be pretty easy. Didn't pay attention, and I learned a lesson.
And that was the one thing that was cool about quarantine, right? Everybody kind of jumped into something new. You know, we had the podcast ready to go. We had everything, but we kind of procrastinated. But quarantine kind of forced us all to step up and do something new. I mean, we all have work to do. We all are doing something, but it was like, okay, how do I get my mind off of it? Because I can't go racing. I can't go and do this. So what else can I do? And, you know, just like you had told me before, man, if you're passionate about it, do it. So during quarantine, I started my own cooking channel, cooking page. So if you want to go and check that out, Smitty's Eats, that's me. I throw up different random recipes on there. But I remember one day I was making a brisket, and then I was making a pork butt, and then we had our big, you know, barbecue thing. And so I was sending you different updates during the whole cooking. He's like, man, that thing looked good. Send me some of that brisket. But I know my future plans. We're going to stop talking about cooking because we're probably making everyone hungry that's in the shop. But my future plans are to get to some of your races. So what does it take? Like, what does it take to get into these races? What do you strive to put on for these people? How much preparation with your team and planning and making sure everything is right? How long does that take you to get everything dialed in for what you really want to do?
A lot of time. It is absolutely the most stressful and draining thing you can do, because one thing people have to realize is when you're doing, I like to do, essentially what I do up here is I do something once a month as a goal. And I understand that every event will not be killer. You know, it's just impossible. But in Michigan and in the Midwest, August and September are like our months of where most people are ready, we're ready to go. So those are usually our bigger months. But my point is, man, it takes so much time and preparation. It takes so much political savviness to have between other racers and being the middleman, right? Being the person that you can't pick a side on, making sure that you hear everyone, you pay respect to everyone, you understand everyone. So it's a very, very difficult task to be a successful promoter. And when you get to a certain level, like other promoters, you can be an asshole and people still come and support you. But I'm a heart and hand type of guy, so I always listen. I take things very seriously. But the preparation we do, from what type of shootouts to host, how do we plan for them, what can we do different to make the next event better, stickers on cars, using car numbers, going live on Facebook to do drawings instead of waiting for everyone to come back up to the Peso Productions tent. Like, there's so many things that we continue to get better at to sharpen our knife. And I learned that iron sharpens iron, and I do my best to partner with, you know, you got to partner with other promoters and make sure you're not on their dates, because that's important. And then you also have to support other promoters. And I'm not just speaking from a promotional standpoint, for anything. If you're trying to make a cooking, if you're trying to open up a restaurant and you don't go support other restaurant owners, they're not going to support you, right? So it's tenfold. And the thing that makes it a little bit difficult with racing is you gotta sell your event. And you really want to make sure that, one, it's going to live up to the expectations that you set. But more importantly, you want to make people feel like if they miss it, they're going to be missing out on one of the biggest races of the year. And that's a tough thing to do when you want to stay consistent. It's just like a good artist. My favorite rapper, you know, Jay-Z is one of my favorite rappers. He can't make a hit every time he makes a song. So, you know, I got to be all right with that. But my boy Drake, my boy Drake, he's dropping his back-to-back. But my point is, you just, consistency is key. Innovation is also important. But you also want to have something that keeps going. So it's hard, man. Like, you know, it definitely took some time off my life, I'm sure, you know, because, you know, you spend so much time and then you got money locked into it. So you're going into a big event and it's about to rain. And it's like, shit, like you just spent all this work, 3 months of promotion, thousands of dollars on all this stuff that you did. And boom, Mother Nature hit you with a 60-degree chance of rain. All of that is out the window. And that's what people don't know and understand. It's like, man, when promoters take over, it's nothing to do with the tracks. We are 100% invested into trying to have a big party, is how I look at it. And when we lose hard.
So then when it goes into your production side of everything, because you have cameras, you have a crew out there that's, you know, a part of your other team. So your media side of it, how have you taken advantage of growing that to help you grow, to help promote your stuff? Not only, like you said, being the promoter that you are, but now being behind the camera, showing people what's going on at these races and then putting that production together. How have you gotten to that point to, you know, get everything down to where you want it, to how you want it to go? You know, like as a person like me, you know, going into these races, it's me. You know, when I shoot it, I'm a solo team, but you have a team that's out there. What does it take to get, you know, after the race? What does it take to get that done? The hours that you put in before to get there, to figure out where everyone's going to get shots from, to figure out where, hey, I need this B-roll, or hey, I need this shot for the intro. So what is all that side of it like? Because I mean, that's got to be stressful, worrying about the race and making sure you guys are getting all the right shots too.
Hey man, it's funny you say that. It's just me still. It's me. I got a 3-man team. And really, when you talk on the video side, it's just two. It's just me and my boy Santino, who's been with me since day one. And I call him my 8th mile cameraman. But honestly, that's 90% of the footage you see is just me and Santino. My photographer, Danny. Danny is a phenomenal photographer. I only got one photographer. So we really still small. We got a 3-man team. I have more people helping with the shootout than I do with the marketing side of things. And I hate to say it, just because, like, my style of shooting and editing is really hard to duplicate. And I've tried to hire other people to help me with that, and I just never get the results I'm looking for. And that's on me, you know what I mean? And it's tough trying to show people that, and when I really just, that's just how I do things. So, you know, me and Santino, I love him, man. He's been there for me. And a lot of times, like, his footage is just, he's always that guy on the 8th mile. Anytime I see footage at the top, I mean, that's Santino panning that camera. Everything else, I literally do on foot, you know, and just do it with what I film and see. And I try to tell a story, you know. Every time, like, I just posted a video of a $14,000 grudge race between two guys with some 12-second cards. And I do my best to try to tell a story, because that's what people want to see. Like, the race is important, but people want to sometimes understand, yo, how did they get up to that point? So, you know, Vine killed a lot of our attention span. Like, people are so used to being able to watch a video for 30 to 60 seconds and get so much out of it. So as a media creator, we had to adjust. And it's like, shoot, I was known for making long, good videos. And you grab some popcorn and you watch a 15-minute video and shit was crazy. So now it's like, I had to figure out how to shorten that up and get people what they need, but in a timely fashion. So it's just adapting, man. A lot of dealing with ambiguity is what this industry and world is about, and that makes it difficult. So for me, it's just me, man. And like, how do we get that stuff? Honestly, a couple beers, you know, and just excitement off of people is what feeds me to just pull that camera out and record what I think is necessary. And it's so hard to record everything you get to track. Like back in my days where I would just sit on that wall for 10 hours and put that up. Like, that was dope, but like, that just don't happen no more. But like, you know, I do my best to try to get everybody's car or at least a good hit. And that's the thing too. I'm not going to edit a video of you blowing the tires off. I'll be like, man, why didn't you put that in there, man? I had a good, you know, I had a good, you know, 60 foot. Like, bro, you made it to the 60 foot and that was it. Like that, you know what I mean? So trying to give racers and spectators something fun to watch, but keeping it entertaining, because if it's not entertaining, don't nobody want to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's at that point, it's clickbait, right? You've got a good title, but you've got no storyline. You've got nothing that's going on, nothing to tell them. So, I mean, what from here, where does Peso go? What's, like you said, you know, you want to get to this next platform, but is there any other big races that you guys got planned? Is there some secret stuff maybe, you know, we can get a little bit in the groove? That you can spill a little bit of beans on, or is it pretty much you're going to stick to your bread and butters for a little bit?
I would tell you that I'm probably going to be working with Virginia Motorplex and Tyler and those guys for 2021. And in order to do what I want to do, I need a phenomenal venue. To support the dreams and visions that I have for racing. So, you know, to find that, I think we have places in Michigan, but just kind of exactly what Travis was speaking about, to be able to get everybody to dance on one dance floor, you got to put the dance floor in the center of the stage. And for me, you know, finding a location like VMC is a little bit more closer to those guys from the south, those guys from the north, east, and west. So, you know, that's my first move, was trying to figure out, all right, where is the location? Because I never really did anything outside of Michigan. Actually, not never really. I never had. Because, one, I was scared, and two, like, I just didn't think I had the support and following. But now that I'm starting to see that I do have that, I'm really like, okay, it's time to take that risk that I've been so scared to take. And at that event, for the first time ever, I really want to try to find a way to incorporate grudge racing with class racing. And, when I say that, it's been something I've been working on. And I think it can happen. I just think it has to be a certain type of class for that to happen. So, DMP is the secret. I was going to have an event there this year, but COVID killed it. But more importantly, the event I'm going to have at BMP in 2021 is a lot bigger. And stay tuned for details, because it's going to be dope. But I'm excited to work with everyone from the DMZ. Those guys are amazing.
I want to put in my first request right now for a media pass. So as soon as you know the information, please. But you know, you touched on something right there, is that you have bigger visions, you have bigger goals. And I think that's what it takes, right? At some point, we all have to think outside of the box. At some point, we know that everyone wants to be YouTube famous. I mean, we all do. Some people are better at it. I mean, perfect examples, like I said, Cletus McFarlane, Justin, you mentioned Justin, you know, and it just takes that another level. It takes, you know, being on TikTok, being on Instagram, being on Facebook. You know, you have to be, as a media person, you have to be on every platform, because all it takes is 5 seconds for someone to forget about you and they remember someone else's name. And then you're gone, right? You could have been their favorite YouTuber for 4 years and then someone else pops in the picture and you're gone. And I mean, that's just kind of how our generation is. And that's just kind of way we flow. What's up, everybody? I'm going to tell you the easiest way to start your podcast right now. It's called Anchor. Go over, download the Anchor app, get on their site, and start your podcast today. You don't have to have any listenership already. You can start from scratch. It's going to distribute all of your podcasts to the major platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Has a creative tool. You can edit from your computer or your phone if you're on the go. It's just really the easiest way to start your podcast. So if you haven't done it already, go over and download the Anchor app and get started on your podcast today. All right, so we are pulling into the Rays energy. We've hit the 60-foot already. We say goodbye to Travis. We hit the 330, the eighth mile, and everything right now. But now we're going to slow it down. We are about to pull those chutes. So you've just entered the hot round. The Rays energy, bringing the energy. So I don't know if you've paid attention, but we always do rapid-fire questions. I got a couple questions for you. Whatever comes to mind, you got to answer them. So if you could morph into two super animals, take two animals, bring them together, these are random questions. I don't pick the questions, so here we go. If you can pick two random animals, morph into them, and be a super animal, what would it be? I know that's off the wall, but...
What the hell? A super animal?
A super animal. Hey, man, people send in the questions, and I'm just reading them. So you can thank the racist culture out there.
I think a super animal. I would be a dog. I would probably, you know what? I'd probably do something in the water, man. I want to be like a combination of a shark and a what's that one with all the tentacles on it? What's the name of the other one? Hold on, bear with me, y'all. Octopus.
Ooh. That's different.
Yeah. You know why? They scary. They creepy. Don't nobody mess with them. They be chilling. Sharks.
Y'all hear?
Them two together, the body.
I'm telling y'all this right now. I'm looking at him on this screen. I'm telling y'all, do not get on Peso's bad side. He wants to be an octopus. It'll probably never happen, right? But a random question. All right. Next random question. If you were at a wedding dance right now, what would be your go-to move? So what is Peso's go-to dance move?
Oh, man. Well, I'll be probably locking the drop. Oh. You know what I'm saying? You know, but yeah, I used to pop lock the drop on back in the days, man. In Detroit, we got a thing called the JIT. I also like the JIT, so... Getting in a little bit of pop locking and dropping.
I mean, I don't know. I'm from California originally, you know, and now I'm in North Dakota. So last question, I'm going to bring it back to racing. I'm not even going to look at the phone for the last question. But what would you say your favorite class is in racing throughout the board, from junior dragster all the way up to top alcohol? What would you say your favorite class to watch is?
Pro 275.
I like that class.
Yeah. That's the Boston boys going 3 seconds, and Martin Mickey and Stevie Jackson, all of them, man. That Motor City Jimbo, you know, my hometown guy, like, man, that's just crazy. As you know, like, that is just an insane class to watch. I mean, them dudes are racing, man. I mean, they getting it in, boy. Ooh, wee.
So I got to ask now, speaking of that, see, you're ticking the brain here. Speaking of that, watching Stevie Fast Jackson, would you say he is the modern day John Force? I mean, he is two steps ahead of everyone in our, because Stevie is in our generation. He may be a little bit, Stevie, don't get mad at me for saying this, you're a little bit older than most of us in that generation, but he's like, you know, he's now what John Force was then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's cool what he's doing.
I agree. Like, the boy is the Steve Jobs of racing. I mean, he just set the record again. You feel me? Like, you know, like, how do you continue to do that? You know, him and a lot of people don't say his name. Sorry, I got to turn this Lakers game on. A lot of people don't say his name, but Phil Sewer, however he says, I say, I'm sorry if I said it wrong, Phil, but like, dog, them two together is Kobe and Shaq. You feel me? Like, I give Stevie a lot of credit, but man, I give his team around him a lot of credit too. Like, his whole crew, just the two of them that I know of, they can't be stopped, bro. Like, they can't be stopped. I'm sorry, they cannot be stopped.
So what do you think is going to happen now? We've got this new wave of racers in, you know, with everything that's going on. You got 10 days of Duck coming up. I think you're going to see more records coming here in the next few days down in Valdosta. And then from there, you know, you've got your Alex Laughlins, you've got your Kai Kellys, you've got a lot of different people that I think are now looking at what Stevie's doing and taking their programs to that level. So do you think it's gonna continue to be a battle and he's paving the way for all these younger cats, or what do you think about that?
Hell no. Man, can't nobody afford to compete with that. I'm just being real. The stuff that I see, just to build my little, I'm building a 4-something second car, right? Just to do that is a 401k and a half. So, like, I can't even imagine what Stevie and his team are doing and spending. Like, we don't get to see behind the scenes. We just get to see the past. And you and I know that the hours, time, and parts that have broken, parts that have failed, rebuilds, like, that is, no, that's a full-time job.
Like going to Orlando this year. You know, I went to West Bucks race, one of the baddest races I've been to other than World Series of Pro Mod. But you go down there and you see Stevie crash, and those guys, including Stevie, worked, I would say, 4 hours straight on just cleaning the car up, just getting it, you know, nonstop, pulling the transmission, pulling the motor, seeing what's hurt, seeing this. And they were going to be ready to go race in Gainesville. I mean, you know, they were going to pack up and go straight down to Gainesville and race there at the Gator Nationals. So before that got canceled with the coronavirus. So like you said, I mean, they're putting in hours. This isn't, you know, like a guy like myself that's just a weekend warrior. No, this is full time, every day, bust my balls, and this is what I'm going to do. So that checkbook, yeah. I mean, just like Travis said, you know, just like you said, if you want to be a heavy hitter, it's not just about, okay, what I can do for this one day. You have to think about the longevity of it.
Yeah, man. That's a whole different ball game. Like no offense, but it's like me. Like, I have a Corvette. I cannot go out here and race other supercars. You know what I'm saying? I almost had a supercar technically. Like, when you really try to race other supercars that are $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. They look at the vet like, why did you bring this Ford Escort here? Like, so it's just different levels to the shit, man. And like, if you're trying to be a bear, a real bear, no, forget that. If you're trying to be a gorilla or the lion, the king of the jungle like Stevie Jackson, you're gonna need a $1 million program, respectfully. And I'm not counting people's pocket. I just want to give people, I don't want to give people false hopes and expectations. Like, to do what these guys are doing, They spending the time, the money, hours, the relationship, they have all that on lock.
Exactly. So with closing, we've talked about a lot, right? We've talked about the grudge racing scene. We've talked about the pro mod scene. We've talked about what it takes to be a great promoter like yourself and a great media person like yourself. But if there's anyone out there that you can give some inspirational words to, tell them, you know, what if someone came to you as I did and said, what do I need to do to make it? I see what you're doing. I love the sport and I want to continue to grow it in my area. What would you tell them to do to strive for excellence?
Yeah, man. You know, the biggest thing is make sure you know, the first thing is make sure you love it. Second thing is be consistent. Third thing is build relationships. The fourth thing is to support other people as much as you possibly can. And the fifth thing is to invest into yourself. And that might be reading a book. That might be watching some YouTube videos to help you get better at your craft. But spend time to work on yourself. And last but not least, I said it a little bit earlier, but innovation is key. You know, you don't have to go out here and do a stupid challenge, but you want to find, like, what can you do to separate yourself? How do you differentiate yourself from the competition? And everyone's competition. You just, you know, how do you stand out? And you just got to think on it. You got to really apply yourself to really get there. But the first couple things I just said is what really will help someone start. And anything after that is just gonna happen. It just takes time. A lot of people don't like to wait. You know, people want to rush. They want instant satisfaction. It took me 7 years before I ever made like an actual dollar. I was just giving away peso gear because I couldn't get nobody to wear this. You know what I mean? It was the hardest thing in the world. And now it's like, I drop a new shirt and it sells out. Thank God for that. Thank everyone for that. But it took time. You know, I was selling t-shirts out of the back of a pickup truck. You know, I remember one day it was raining and all I had was brown boxes. I didn't even have a Tonto cover on my truck. Then I got to the track, lost everything on the top of those boxes, man. It was like $600 in gear, which back then was like my rent. You know what I mean? So it was just like, dog, I lost that. And it's because I just didn't have the right tools. I didn't have a Tonto cover. I didn't have totes. You know, I was just trying to figure it out. So when you all do hit rock bottom or you do bump your head, man, it's okay. Bounce back. Come back stronger. Learn from your mistakes.
Thank you, and we appreciate, you know, you coming on, you giving these words to everybody, you talking with me, just talking racing, but we look forward to working with you here in the future. Like I said, when you go to VMP, we want to come too, maybe do a podcast out there, get some of the winners on. But again, thank you, Peso, for your time. Keep trying to cook, man, if you need them, you know, if you need any ingredients or you need some yes, recipes, sir. Please let me know. But thank you again for your time. We truly appreciate it. All right, everybody. Again, and it's nice for me to have friends on here. It's nice to talk racing and just talk what we all love to do. But we have come to that point where we've got to pull the chutes. We got to start stepping on the brakes, make sure everything is shut down and shut off. Again, this is another episode of In the Groove Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. This has been another episode of In the Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mabro Motorsports, LS Tech and Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you haven't done already, please go over and check out all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube, all under outlawperformance.ent. Till next time, you guys keep smashing that loud pedal.